This is Phil Farron, and I am driving around until my friend can meet with me for dinner. So sometimes I have a buddy that I meet with him on Thursday nights. He has been really, really busy on this summer, just, you know, working at this and working at that and trying to keep body and soul together and all that kind of good stuff. And so we haven't actually been able to meet that many times for supper through the summer. But I had just called him before I started this and said, "Hey, got time for supper?" And he said, "Well," he said, "honestly," he said, "I just need to stop what I'm doing and just get together with you," he said, "because I need to talk." So I said, "Yeah, that's fine." We have a lot of road. They're resurfacing the road right outside my main client here, so it's going to be noisy. But we aren't getting together till 5:30, which means I have a little bit of time since it's 10 till 5 now. So instead of driving home and talking, I'm actually going to drive around and talk and just talk for 20 minutes or so and then go to the restaurant and just wait for him. It is episode 126 episodes. I was talking to a friend over Skype last night, and I had mentioned that I had done 125 episodes altogether thus far, and so he pulled out a calculator and he said, "So," he said, "that's like a half an hour an episode." I said, "Well, you know, it's 25 minutes, yeah, average 25 minutes." So he calculated it out. So that's like 70 hours of audio. I said, "I know, man. It's ridiculous. I just keep doing things." And honestly, today I was asking him, I said, "So you got anything I think I should talk about on Thursday? Because I've been really busy running around doing things. And as such, I've kind of slacked off a little bit on my topic gathering." And having slacked off on my topic gathering, last night I was actually thinking, "What am I going to talk about tomorrow?" Yikes! They're redoing this road here, and so they have pulled off the top layer of the asphalt, but they've left the sewer covers an opening. So there's these protrusions that are 2 to 3 inches above the road, and there's just a little bit of padding around them. So I'm doing my best not to run into those. It would make my car go make big bangs. Big bangs. So I actually spent, I don't know, 4 hours last night going through my notes of things that would be possible topics, and I just couldn't come up with anything that struck my fancy. So I thought, you know what? We're just gonna wing it. We're gonna do exactly the same thing that I do when I sit down across the table from someone and I have a meal. I don't come with a pre-known agenda. I just come and we start talking. Now, obviously, this is a little more difficult because you're not actually sitting across from me. We're not having a meal and just having a real interaction. I'm just flapping my gums. But I'll just tell you about how my week has gone and how God has been good to me this week. And we'll just go from there. On Friday, I got together with a buddy. And I had planned right afterwards that I would go to Midas to get my brakes fixed. In the past, when I had gone to this Midas, they'd been fine. If, you know, I needed a brake fix or something, I mean, I'd just wander in there and they'd look at it, they'd say, "This is what we need to do," and I'd say, "Okay, fine," and an hour later, I'm out of there. And so I had brought my computer and, you know, got everything prepped so that I could just spend an hour down there, get caught up and do some work, and it was no problem. Well, apparently there's been a change of management and they're a little short-handed, so what I really should have done, got some hot rod guy trying to peel out there. What I should have done was I should have just taken my car down there, dropped it off, and then, you know, waited or gone and done something, go down to headquarters or someplace and just done my work there and just waited for them to call me. I'm going to make a lot of odd turns today, not that you could actually tell, but I'm just basically trying to kill 20, 25 minutes. So I'm just going to wander around on some of the back streets and go from there, and hopefully I won't end up someplace and get killed. Anyways, so took it down to Midas, and I set up my little computer there, and I had my phone set up so that it would do tethering, but as it turns out, they had free Wi-Fi. So that was kind of cool. So I just went ahead and used their free Wi-Fi, got dialed into that, and I was puttering along. Everything was fine, and I was noticing they still hadn't gotten back to me with an estimate, and still... After about 45 minutes, I'm thinking, oh, you have made a mistake, because I don't even have the estimate, you know, and then finally they get the estimate to me. Yeah, okay, how long is that going to take? Oh, anywhere between 30 minutes and 2 hours, and I'm like, oh, rats, rats, rats. I didn't figure this out right. So fine. So I'm sitting there doing my stuff. There's people coming in. Some of them I talk to. Some of them I don't. You know, I just try to be sensitive to whether or not people want to be talked to or not. And if they have any inclination where it seems like they want to be talked to at all, then I talk to them. But some didn't. So that was cool. But I had my computer with me, and I had it plugged into the wall, so I'm good. I finally get out of there about 1 o'clock, you know, by the time they've done pretty much everything they need to do on the brakes, which I hadn't had brakes done for several years, and I drive a little Chevy Prism 1999, and it is a good little car. I am going to drive this car over 200,000 miles. I've got 130 on it now. I bought it at like 57,000. I've been driving it for a long time. I'm going to drive it for more time. So I don't mind putting a couple hundred dollars every couple of years into the car to make sure everything's working well. And so this was that year. So I got it done. And honestly, my flesh was a little, you know, about all of that. But I thought, well, that's fine. So I didn't get any writing done. It's fine. So I go ahead and go on. And I had remembered that I needed to call somebody because I needed to run some paperwork by. And so I went ahead and called this person. And it was interesting because I ended up calling at exactly the right time. Because this particular friend of mine was going through a divorce, and unbeknownst to me, Friday was the day that he was going down to sign all the papers. So I called him up and we started chatting, and he mentioned that, yeah, he said, you know, going down to sign all the papers. And so we talked about that for a little while, and I tried to encourage him a little bit. So that was good. You know, I think maybe it kind of helped encourage him a little bit, which is, I'm always up for that, always interested in doing that. So then Friday, you know, we got finished up there, and then Friday night, we'd already made plans not only to get together with my daughter and son-in-law, and sweet Clara, my granddaughter, but with some other friends, a young couple that haven't had a lot of fellowship in recent months, and we'd gotten together with them once before, and so we decided to do it again, and just had a really lovely time Friday night with them. Went back to their place for a little bit, played a game. It was fun. We just had a lot of fun. That was Friday. And then on Saturday, we have another family friend whose daughter has been just a big supporter of my writing. I mean, she really likes my books. Anytime I need a beta writer, she's just right there. I mean, she's just like, yeah, put me on the list. And has taken time to read my books and offer good comments on the books and good enough compliments on the book that she's actually made it onto the back cover of one of my books. And so at one point, she had gotten in touch with me, and I actually need to write her, and I'm going to try to do that when I get home tonight, as you'll see behind a minute. But she had written me and said, hey, you should come to one of our Civil War reenactments sometime. And I said, well, where are they going to be? And she wrote back and she said, well, there's going to be one at Wilson's Battle Creek. She said, it's actually the big one, or Wilson's Creek Battlefield. I always say that wrong. Wilson's Creek Battlefield. She said, that's going to be the big one. And I said, wait a minute. I said, you're coming to Springfield, Missouri? Because she lives in Kansas City. I said, you're coming to Springfield, Missouri, and you're going to do a reenactment here? I said, well, yeah, absolutely we'll come. I said, when is it? So it was this last weekend. So as we were getting closer, then we got in touch with our friends here in town who are the parents of this young lady. And so they got us times as to when it would be and when the battle was going. And they were actually going to have two reenactments on Saturday. It was the 150th anniversary, the sesquicentennial. So that was pretty cool. And we had no idea how big this thing was going to be. So we had decided, well, we'll get some tickets ahead of time, save $5 on the tickets, because the tickets were like $25 a piece per person if you bought them there. Excuse me. I'll tell you about my afternoon in a little bit, and you'll understand why I'm yawning more than normal. I know sometimes I yawn, but I'm pretty blitzed today. I'll tell you about that in a minute. So anyways, we decided that we wanted to go support her because she'd been real faithful to support us, and I need to get on my Facebook and write her and say, hey, we really enjoyed it. It was fun. But I just haven't done that yet, but I'm going to post to her Facebook page tonight and we'll get that done. So it was very interesting. We weren't down there for very long because we had more excitement planned for the weekend and we had to get ready for that. So we hopped in the car. I met my wife at her parents' house at like 9:15, and we hopped in the van and we headed out there in the van to the other side of town. It's actually on the south end of Springfield. And as we were coming up, we got stuck in the entrance traffic. I had tried to buy tickets ahead of time and everyone was sold out. I went, what? What? But they were expecting like 20 to 30,000 people to come to this thing because it was the sesquicentennial. So we got in the traffic going in, the line, we hit the line for the traffic about 9:45, and it took 45 minutes for us to actually get inside where the reenactment was. But the reenactment started at 10:30, so it was just nearly perfect. As we were walking up, I think we heard the opening salvo go off, and it was fun. There was quite a bit of tree cover, and so there certainly wasn't a clear view of the battlefield. And if we had known, we could have walked all the way down to the edge of it and probably seen a little bit better. But as it was, my wife Lynette found a tree, and we went up and stood beside the tree and set up our little chair there, and it was fine. And then our friends came by, and so I hopped up and I talked to the dad and his son. We just visited about this, that, and the other for the next 50 minutes or so, and after it was all said and done, then we got back to where the trams were running, and we came home, and it actually was a beautiful day. It was lovely to be outside, and we just had a really, really nice time. It would have been fun to stay longer because the weather was actually pretty nice. Last week, it was hot. It was hot, hot. Or week before last. Last week? Week before last. I don't know. Week before last, it was hot. And I was actually getting a little concerned because the Civil War reenactment people wear wool, and I was thinking they are going to be passing out. I'm sure they've encountered this before, but it's going to be bad. But, you know, the temperature cooled off one day last week, they said it was going to get into the 90s, but we had rain all day long, and it never got above 72. And the rest of the week was in the 80s. By the weekend, it was 87, 88-ish and stuff. But there was a nice breeze, and you get in the shade, and it was beautiful. So we really enjoyed being outside and seeing some of that. We would have stayed longer, would have liked to stay longer. But we had more excitement to get ready for. I needed to get all my normal stuff taken care of to get ready for the week. And then in addition to that, my cousin had called and had asked if he could stay with us for vacation. And I went, well, yeah, sure. You know, come on in. I hadn't seen my cousin since 1997. So he's, you know, it's crowding 15 years since I had seen him. And he actually had a 10-year-old daughter I had never met. And he grew up in this area in Springfield. And he said, you know, when I was thinking around something to do for vacation, he said, just suddenly I thought, well, you know, Branson, Springfield, why not? So he decided that he'd bring his daughter down here, kind of show her where he grew up and the college he went to and all that kind of good stuff. And I was just very, very pleased that he called and said, hey, can I stay with you? Because we have plenty of room. It was no problem. I think originally he'd called my mom and dad about potentially staying with them, but they don't really have a spare bedroom at this point. And so she had said, why don't you call Phil? Because he's got room. So he did that, which was great. I'm glad she said that. And we just got a chance to get caught up. It was really good. I got a chance to meet his daughter. She is just as sweet as can be. So they stayed with us Saturday night. They came in Saturday night and they stayed with us. And then it just so happened that that particular Sunday was when we were having everyone over to our house for Sunday dinner. So that worked out perfect. And Nett and I got dinner together, and we had her parents and my parents and my daughter and son-in-law and Clara and cousin and second cousin all together for dinner on Sunday, and just had a really, really nice time around the dinner. And then they took off and took around and saw some things, and I did a little writing, and you know, the writing all went good and stuff. And then they were back Sunday night for a little while, and we had a chance to visit some more then. And then Monday they took off from Branson, they were back Tuesday night, then they wanted to get some buffalo wings, and so we went to a place called Buffalo Wild Wings here in town. And it was really interesting because our waitress came up, and when I saw the waitress, I said, now put this all on one ticket, and I get it because this is my cousin and his daughter, and they've come all the way in from New York, so the least I can do is pay for their meal. And she said, well, where were you from in New York? And he said, Poughkeepsie. She said, oh, Poughkeepsie. She said, the culinary school. And he lit up, was telling her about the culinary school and how great it was. And she said, yeah, I want to go to that culinary school. She said, that's my dream. And so we got to talking a little bit. And she said, I'm so glad I got you all to hear about it, Smart. And I just paused and told her, I said, you know, now is the time to chase your dreams. You're young. If you're interested in culinary school, go for it right now. You know, as soon as you can get ready, go. And I felt like later, I got distracted, but I felt like I should talk to her a little bit more about it later and really trying to encourage her, you know, now is the time. Now, this is the time. Do it. Make your preparation. Figure out what you need to be well prepared for when you get to the culinary school. But find a way to get the money and get it done. Do it. Because it's going to be a great, great experience. And you're unattached. Now's the time to do it. So I didn't get a chance to tell her all that stuff, but just a little bit. You know, I had a little moment chance encounter there where I could talk to her a little bit about that. And it was good. It was good. And so we had a really nice time there. They slept with us, or they spent the night with us Tuesday night. Then Wednesday morning, They got up and started out early for St. Louis because they had flown into St. Louis and driven down here and then got up like 6:30 or so and drove back up to St. Louis because they needed to have the car turned in by like 10:30 and so they could catch their flight and stuff. And my cousin did go ahead and call me then about 12:30 on Monday and, you know, thanked me for hospitality and all that kind of stuff. And it was just good. You know, it was good. And we told him how much we enjoyed having him and Leah come back anytime. Just let us know. I mean, we did tell him, okay, in about 2 or 3 years here, we're going to be selling this house. But if you come before that, we are more than happy to put you up. So it was nice. It was really, really nice. Then, of course, last night I was scrambling around and trying to find something to actually talk about today by the time I finally just gave up. And it was funny because I'd gone through all my articles and there were things in the articles like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe. I mean, one of the articles was on how amniocentesis, the testing that they can do in the womb, how because they had been able to now determine the gender of the child early on, that there are some areas in the world where they're using sex selection abortions. People don't want girls, and so if they find out it's a girl, they just abort, and then they try again until they have a boy. And some interesting things, very interesting, in the article about the ratios, the normal biological ratios of boys to girls, and how if you see that ratio inflated in any way, that you can guarantee that it's probably being done, well, that you can guarantee that it's not happening in nature, that in fact there is some outside force that's working on it, and that girls are being aborted. And it's very interesting. Maybe I'll pull that out. But when I was reading through it last night, I thought, oh, okay, this is interesting, but this is not the right thing. I even went so far, a buddy had written to me about a television show, or maybe it was web episodes or something, I don't know. And this television show was called The Booth at the End. And the setup was that there was a guy who just sat in this diner, and people would come in, and the secret code phrase was, I hear they make a great pastrami sandwich here. And then he would nod to them and say, oh, well, welcome, so-and-so, because he would already know who they were. And then they would want something, and he would ask them, well, you know, this is the way it works. If that's what you want, I'll give you a task. If you do the task, just looking to see if anyone's coming, if you do the task, you'll get what you want. And it's, you know, it was pretty interesting. And so I was thinking, well, maybe that's what I'm supposed to watch, or that maybe that's what I'm supposed to talk about. So I actually kicked on Hulu, and there was like 5 episodes, and they were 20 minutes long. I actually watched all 5 episodes last night, hoping that it was going to have this really, and it was interesting, it was interesting, but I was hoping there was going to have this big ta-da at the end that I could kind of talk about and stuff, and maybe there's some stuff there I could talk about, but I got to the end of it and I just went, rats. Oh, rats. Okay. But I mean, that kept me up till like 11:30 at night, which usually I'm in bed by, oh, 10-ish or so. So I kind of had a late night last night. But what was fun last night was that my godson texted me and he said, hey, got time to get on Skype? And I said, sure. So this was the first time that I had talked to him since his California trip. So we talked for about a half an hour and it was cool. It was fun. It was good to just kind of get caught up with him. He's having adventures out there. He's actually working as an intern in Pat Boone's office out there doing social media stuff for them. And so he's, you know, he's having his experiences, he's meeting people, and it's good. It's exactly what he needs at this juncture in his life, because he's a good looking guy and he He writes interesting songs. I've heard one of his songs that he wrote, and I thought, hey, that's pretty interesting. And so he's growing as a songwriter. He's got a great baritone voice. He's a young guy. He's not attached. I mean, now is the time. And so he seems to be enjoying himself out there. I think he's making ends meet, you know, which is cool. And he's just having experiences and meeting people, and he'll start trying to marshal the resources. And he's still looking around for a small church out there in the LA area that's really kind of just getting going, because he really wants to be involved in the music at the church and kind of be at the front end of the growth of the church, as opposed to going to some place that's really well established already. So he's looking around, but, you know, he's having fun. And it's a fascinating experience for him. And so that's why I was asking him last night, because I had already spent about 2 hours trying to figure out what I was going to talk about. And just, you know, excuse me, couldn't come up with anything. And he said, well, he couldn't come up with anything either. So then I watched all those episodes, and that's when I decided, you know what, I'm just talking about my week. So it was really good to talk to him. Enjoyed talking with him. I have missed some of my buddies this week that I normally talk to. Everybody hasn't kind of decompressed yet from council. And so I am missing talking to some of my buddies. But, you know, I've had enough conversations this week. It's been good. Today was a long day. It was a good day, and we got accomplished exactly what I was hoping to accomplish today. But it was a long day. One of the projects that I had worked on ended up being a fairly complex project in terms of the technical manipulations that had to be done to produce the data. And we had set up that today was going to be the day that I was going to do a technical demonstration discussion with both the client and some of his associates. And so we had set that up, and I'd got my notes together yesterday. I was all ready to go, but I knew going into this that it was going to be a fairly technical discussion, and I knew that some of it was going to be a little beyond the pale. I mean, it was definitely beyond what I would normally do in a discussion with end users, because we actually got in to talk about set processing versus linear processing, and, you know, went all the way down into the tables and discussed the tables. And I had made a lot of time. I had set it up from 1 o'clock to 4:30, because I wanted to have a lot of time to go very slow, go very methodically, let them ask questions, and so I knew it was going to be a long afternoon for them, and it was. It was. Now, we did get through it, and everyone, you know, seemed to appreciate the approach. You know, one person, it was just really not their bailiwick at all. I mean, I knew that even going into it. But this person was very patient, nodded their head, you know. I knew it was. And, you know, one of the other ones in there, he said, you know, I was following you on some of it. Some of it I don't, but he doesn't have to deal with it. But the people who really needed to kind of absorb the information and potentially work with it later, because on this particular project, we were trying to do it fast and cheap. And so there's no real user interface to alter any of the core calculation interface. They're just going to have to go in and edit right straight on the tables. And so there's nothing to help kind of spoon feed and help present it to the user in such a way that it's easier to work with. So because of that, I had to actually go into a fairly technical discussion. But I had made notes, and we recorded all of the sessions with Camtasia, And we went through it a piece at a time, and I had another programmer in the room with me, actually two programmers, but one, another guy who works in the IT department, he was in the room with me to kind of help me. And you know, if I got too technical that he didn't feel like people were even hanging with me, he was there to kind of ask questions. So that was good to have him there. And, you know, it seemed to go fine, but between working through some stuff that needed to be worked through this morning and then spending the last 3.5 hours talking and talking and talking, I'm a little tired today. But you know what? It's just fine. Because it's been a good week. I've been able to get some good work accomplished this week. I've been able to make some good progress on Grumpy Old Prophets Part 2. And it's really, it's just fascinating. Because I had my outline all done. And so I kind of know where things are going. And from that outline, I kind of know where the development should be. But all along the way, as I've been working on this, I'll get writing and then something will open up. It's like, oh, hey, that's a piece that can fit there, you know. And then I go along, oh, hey, there's another piece. And I was working on the scene where Jesus cleanses the temple in John, which in John happens at the beginning of Jesus's ministry. In Mark, Luke, and Matthew, it happens at the end of Jesus's ministry. But I'm just going to actually have two in Grumpy Old Prophets, one at the start and one at the end. And it was interesting because as I started to write it, I started to write the first paragraph, and I was like, no, it's not right. And I knew the viewpoint on the chapter was supposed to be from Mary. I knew that. It was Mary's viewpoint because she's just like going into the temple with Jesus, and then suddenly Jesus starts whipping people in the temple. And she knows that this is not good, that the Jewish leaders are not going to put up with this type of rioting so close to the Passover, because all the Romans would get really skittish when Passover would get close, because they knew that the Jews had a tendency to riot. And so I was reading some historical accounts, and they were saying that anybody who caused any kind of rioting near the Passover, that was it, they got crucified. If they were a lower class citizen, I mean, it's just Romans didn't put up with it, because they knew when you've got 600,000 to 2 million Jews all packed into a city that they didn't want to get that stirred up. So it's really, I knew it was from Mary's perspective, but since it was dealing with Jesus, I thought the conversation was going to happen between Mary and Moses, because in Grumpy Old Prophets, Moses is attached to the Messiah and his family, and Elijah is attached to everything else, except Elijah also goes along with John the Baptist, since Elijah and John the Baptist are forerunners. So I kept thinking, oh yeah, it's supposed to be Moses, it's supposed to be Moses, it's supposed to be Moses. And I just kept trying to write it as her sensing Moses' presence, and it just was not happening. It was just like, nope. And I get to the paragraph and get to the paragraph, and then suddenly, after I'd worked several days just, you know, nudging against that, not necessarily having writer's block, I could have pushed through and kept doing it, but I just knew as soon as I'd start writing, it would be like, no, it's not Moses. And finally, I just started sitting down and just started writing, and all of a sudden, she's running up the stairs of the temple, and she senses Elijah's presence, and it was like, oh, hey! It's Elijah that's up there. That's what's going on. And as soon as I made that connection that it was Elijah that was up there, it's like everything opened up. And then it was like, right, it's Elijah. And then the dialogue just started flowing. So it's really fascinating. Creativity is an amazing thing. It's an amazing dance with the eternal. And I've read people who write on creativity and they say, oh, that's all your subconscious, you know. That's why it feels like it's talking to you from the outside, but it's just your subconscious. But I gotta tell you, when I'm writing, I feel really connected to the eternal. Because I'm going along and stuff is coming out that I have never thought of. And it's just like all of a sudden, ping, 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 here it comes. And so I'm having fun with Grumpy Old Prophets too. I think I'm almost about halfway through. And the pieces are aligning. Because as I was writing that conversation between Mary and Elijah, another piece dropped into place that I needed, that I was struggling with. Okay, how are we going to make this work plot-wise? How do we make this make sense and infuse it with enough emotional content and blah, 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 blah. And then as I was just writing their dialogue, it was like, oh, there it is. Of course it has to be that way. So I got that written over the last few days, over the weekend too. And so that guy's in enough good enough shape that I can then move on to the next chapter, which is John the Baptist's reaction to Jesus clearing the temple as he's talking to Elijah. So that'll be a fun chapter. It'll be a quickie, just a short chapter. And then the next chapter after that will be Herod and Herodias's reaction to the fact that now John the Baptist is calling them out and criticizing them and condemning them in his preaching. So that'll be fun. So that'll be part of this weekend's work. And my buddy should be here in about 5 minutes. And I've been talking for 35 minutes, so it's about time to quit this. This is Phil Ferrand. I am not home, but I will be home later. So I have finished driving around. Have a great weekend.